the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting one day in his gathering, and there was a high number, a lot of the noble companions present there in his noble company. And one of the companions, a Sahabi, stood up and stated and requested, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may my parents be sacrificed, assigned to you, and may I please present and put forward a question to you." And all of the companions looked at him closely, and because of the fact that he was not a companion with a low level or status, rather he was unique and he had a high maqam, a high status. And this was Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu anhu. This was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who brought iman, who took iman, came into Islam in Madinatul Munawwara, and his maqam status is high from amongst the companions, from the Sahaba. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu anhu, the reason for his coming into Islam, or you could say the event that led to him coming into Islam, was such that when the Holy Prophet Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his blessed presence to Madinatul Munawwara, and in the early days, in the first you can say phase or period, a lot of people were attending and coming to the gathering of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a lot of people had heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of Medina, they came to look, to see, and they would see and they would sit in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abdullah bin Salam, at that time, he already had a high rank, or famous. He was a state. He was an alim, a scholar of the Jews, of the Yahudis, and he was the head of the scholars of the Jews at that time. In Medina, he had a lot of respect, he had stature, people looked up to him, he was an alim, a big scholar of that time. And the Tawrat, he had done hifz, he had memorized the Tawrat, and he was a hafidh of the scriptures of his deen, and mashallah, the Quran was left and he became hafidh of that as well after, alhamdulillah. So he said, "I thought at that time I should also go and have a look." And the Jews were proud of Abdullah bin Salam. They thought he will go, he will speak and debate, and there will be questions. We'll realize very quickly that we are the people on the right path. And when we go and debate with the Prophet Muhammad, then that's it. The story will end there, because our scholar, he's great and he will win the debate. So he thought, "Let me go. I will go as well. Let's see what's happening." So Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam also went to the gathering and put himself forward in the service of Rasulullah in the company, in a second intake. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, let me recite the Shahada. I also want to become a Muslim." So somebody asked him that, "You are such a big scholar of the Jews, and you are from the offspring, progeny of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah." So he had a great status, and he was a Nabi, from the awlad of the Nabi, hafidh, alim, he had done hifz of kitabs. And he went, and the intention was to have a debate, to talk to Rasulullah, to debate, question, challenge, etc., overcome. Soon as he went, he put that question forward: "Can I come into Islam?" So somebody asked him, "What did you see that made you suddenly do that?" And he gave a brilliant answer, that, "I saw the blessed face of Mustafa." Subhanallah, subhanallah. It is stated that, mashallah, his face, blessed face, beauty was such that how can a person not become a Muslim after seeing his beautiful face? My knowledge and my scholarships, etc., were all left behind. Subhanallah, that in the light of the noor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the question didn't rise when I saw that I should not come into iman. So he brought about his iman in a beautiful, unique way. So I'm presenting hadith that is narrated by him. Listen carefully, this hadith is very useful and beneficial, and that's why I presented and introduced Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu anhu, because what he must have said, he was an alim, a scholar, he must have had a great way of speaking, he must have thought before he spoke and structured his statement. So let's listen what he said. So he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly paid attention and with love said that ask your question, and called Abdullah bin Salam close to himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my question is this, that close to you, in your eyes, who is the most intellectual person? Subhanallah, what a big question. What a big question. That in your eyes, close to you, who is the intellectual person? Who has got understanding? And this was a very good and important question. Great question. And the answer came straight away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and smiled and with love and affection said that close to me, the person with most intellect is that person who aktharat, who he with in abundance remembers death. That woman, that man who remember death in abundance, that person, he or she are the most intellectual or person of wisdom and who have the brain and intellect and understanding. Great hadith, big hadith. And if on this one hadith we do amal, if we practice, then this is the guarantee that that person will go into paradise, running into paradise, if he practices on this one hadith. Why? Because this question of Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was a deep question. It was a deep question. And the reason why he asked this question, in reality, why did he ask this question? What was the basis? What's the reason behind it? That Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam was asking the route to paradise. And the answer that came from Rasulullah, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the answer, then that was azim. Just as great as the question was, the greater was the answer. Because he asked for the path to Jannah, the route, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his whole ummah into paradise. He has guided everybody to enter into paradise until Qiyamah. And what a path has been explained to the believers, that the question doesn't arise that if a person practices on this, implements this guidance, that he will stay behind and stay in loss. Do you not understand what I'm saying? It's a big point. So one thing, Rasulullah ﷺ said, that person who remembers death in abundance, maut, will, subhanAllah, be the successful person and is the most intellectual person. Allah has given us this life. However much life Allah Ta'ala has given to us, minutes, seconds, they gather, they accumulate, and seconds become minutes, minutes become hours, hours become days, days become weeks, weeks become months, months become years, isn't it? So not 1 minute of a mu'min, of a believer, should be considered as a minor. It's very precious and valuable. And on this basis of the message given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the life of a mu'min, a believer, is what? That maut, that marahil maut, that the marahil, the events, the phases to come after death, always every moment insan, the human being should be preparing himself for the phases after death. This is preparing for death. Preparing for death isn't maut, death, what's going to happen to death. Because to remember death, maut, this isn't doing the tasbih. This hadith doesn't tell us do tasbih, maut, recitation, no. Preparation of the death. The events after this. So remembering death is to prepare for the time of death and the phases, the time that's going to come, the challenges after death. And this is called remembering death. Not reciting death literally. The death time, when a person's last breath will be drawn, when he'll be lowered into the grave, when he'll come out of the grave, day of Hashr, waiting on the day of Hashr, crossing the bridge of Sirat, the accounting, the mizan, the scales of Allah's justice. All of these are the marahil. The phases after death. So the person in this life, on planet Earth, who thinks about these phases, who prepares for these phases after death, with what? With what? With amalu salihat. Amalu salihat. What is the preparation for death and the stages after death? Our good deeds, the deeds Allah has mentioned, the preparation for death, good deeds for maut. For the preparation when we will actually die, when we will have our janazah, when we will load into the qabr, the questions in the qabr, in the grave, and all the severity on the day of judgment. What do we need for this? We need amal. We need deeds. Or do we need the shop? Or do we need houses? Or do we need businesses? Or do we need inside and outside in the dunya to help us all day long? Let's take today that's gone. That for which part of death or phases after death to save ourselves from death and the phases of death did we prepare so that phase or those phases can become easy for us. Then we can say, ah, we prepare for death. We would have thought definitely about dunya. If I do this and this will happen, I need to get married or for a child or for this son. Let me prepare the wedding for this child or that child or son or daughter. And where's this gone? What a question and what an answer. Subhanallah. And who will we complain to after death? Who will we complain to? Who will we say that we couldn't prepare? Very straightforward path. Islam is simple. Simple structure. Straightforward understanding. Look, we've been given a life. We need to understand what this life is for. This life is for maybe some years. A short period of time. A finite period of time. Within a time frame. It's not open playing field. It's not unlimited. It's limited. Limited time frame. For this reason, that the test that will come to us after death, like the time of death, we have to pass that test. When death comes, we should pass through the death with laughter and happiness. And when we go into the grave, we should be at ease. There should be the carpet, lush carpet in the grave, and the doors of Jannah should open, and the hoors and the maidens should be visible, and beautiful fragrance should come into our grave. And we should do the ziyarah first and foremost of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the grave. Then when we ask, who is this insan? Man Rasulukum. The window should open and cut through the veils to Medina. We've heard these things, haven't we? We hear this, don't we? What have we done today for the preparation of the grave? That this question will be asked to us, and when a person will be asked in the grave, who is this? And the window will open and the veils will drop until Medina, and Rasulullah will say, give the answer, it's me, your prophet. And this is possible, isn't it? This will occur. And what does this all depend on? On the preparation for our death, isn't it? And if I don't prepare and I want something to occur, oh, this happened to this wali and I read this hadith, this kitab, then will there be a more foolish person than us if we don't prepare? Am I intellectual that I want to pass the driving test and I had a Mercedes and tomorrow I buy a BMW, and today I had one house and I'll get another house, or I get a business and I had this deal, then I make another deal tomorrow, increase in profit? This is our story for our days and weeks and months and years and life. Then we will not get anything at the time of death. And we need to think about the phases after death. And the mu'min has yaqeen on these phases. This is our life. We believe in this. We believe in this. Islam, Iman, what is this? What's this for? Why are we believers? It's surprising to see that if another person says that you had yaqeen on death, on hereafter, but you prepared on a different way. That, for example, you want to travel to London and you prepare for the trip to Glasgow. Does this make any sense? And you know that I need to go to London, and I know in a good way, we know that our maut is to come. The time of death will come. Every day, morning and evening, we hear the hadith, and the ulama ikram, mashallah, they struggle. They strive and they teach us. They teach us through daras, through the hadith, through bayanat. May Allah Ta'ala allow His mercy to shower down on the ulama, the scholars. They explain to us through speeches and lectures and writing. So why are we negligent? Think, we open that, they read the Quran through the hadith in the morning, they speak in the evening, whatever opportunity they get, they recite a hadith. Ramadan, mashallah, they try hard, they make effort. All the ulama ikram, the scholars, they explain, they tell us, and how many beautiful pieces of knowledge reach to us about Islam, the objective of life, death, the hereafter. So think at least that the 7 or 8 phases we have to pass, let's take one every day, that today I need to prepare for the time of death. And soon as my death comes, the death should come like this, just like the hair that's extracted through the flower, so easily should my spirit and ruh be extracted at the time of death. Subhanallah. And you understand that those people, for example, who pass through death in a difficult way, you have the nettles and the thorn, if they are put into the flesh and dragged through the flesh, and every piece of flesh of the body will be dragged with those nettles and thorns, that's the difficult period for a person who wasn't pious. Or if, for example, so many sharp edges inflict wounds onto a body at one time, that is the pain for the sinful person at the time of death. But he who has prepared, it's like he, subhanallah, he's in a sleepy, dozy state and he's got a rose presented to his nostrils and he smells a beautiful fragrance. That's the ease he'll have at the time of death. And that person who will be standing on the Day of Judgment for 50 years and the world and the earth and the Day of Judgment, the plain of Ashur will be sweltering under the heat. But for the pious people who are good, their period on the Day of Judgment will be shorter than the period between Asr and Maghrib that we experience on the world. And in a nice way, the good people will pass the time. And oh, both are opposite, because they prepared, the good people, for death, and we wasted time. We never listened to anyone. We didn't listen to the alim, the scholar. We didn't listen to the wali of Allah, the awli Allah. We didn't recognize anyone who was good. So how, what kind of mu'min am I? We know what's to come. We know the qabr is going to be severe and strict and hard, and this will be our life that will come. Soon as a person is lowered into the grave, this life will come and his ruh will come back to his body. And now, for example, if we see that, if I pinch somebody and we say, oh, And suddenly we shriek and jump up, but who will come to listen to us then in the grave? We hear everything, the animals, the birds, every creature hears the adab of the grave, the person who's in the grave, but the human beings can't hear it. That's why we're lazy. Now today I will tell you that if I start reciting the verses of the Quran to you about death and what's going to come, Surah Hujarat, and if we read that Surah Kaf, and Quranul Majid, Allah Ta'ala, come to the final verse and listen to the tafsir of the Quran, how the ruh is extracted, the angels that come, the questions that will be asked. Allah Ta'ala is describing. Why? Why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning this? Because Allah Ta'ala has given us the hint, the guidance, that the person who remembers and prepares for death in abundance, he is the person with intellect. And what a question. And what a question of Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. We owe him a big favor that until Qiyamah, until the Day of Judgment, he has guided all of the Ummatis and the believers to go into paradise. Any Muslim who grabs this hadith, that we have one objective. If I'm 70 years old or 80 years old, I have one objective. We have a common objective. And this important, we live our life. Fine, we need to eat and drink. Whatever we get, we need to fill our stomach. That if you drink 2 glasses of water, your stomach will be filled. Alhamdulillah. If you take 2 dates and a glass of water, what did we do in Tarawih? 2 dates, water glass, and we will fit. And if you want to force your stomach to eat, that's another point. But the stomach is just like this. It is like a closed fist. What's inside the stomach? Subhanallah. It just needs a little bit. It's just similar to the size of a closed fist. But we're so greedy. You can stretch it as much as you want and fill it. It will go to a mile in distance, but it's very flexible. If you're eating 1 chapati, and even if you have 5 chapatis, you're still hungry because the stomach stretches out. Allahu Akbar, this is the power of Allah. This is Allah Ta'ala's power and glory, that how He's presented us, how He has created us. Allah says, you want to just eat? Okay, keep on eating and you'll forget. Your stomach is so flexible, you eat as much as you want. You can put in whatever you want into it. Subhanallah. So this is something we have to pay attention towards. We need to remember death. We need to forget the comforts and the luxuries. So in the day today that's gone, or the days to come, I need to take one phase about death or after death, and I should think that I'm going to prepare for that phase, that when maut comes, death comes, it should salute me and say, come, we've come to take you in a nice way. When the angels come, they say, marhaba, marhaba. The angel of death says, marhaba, welcome. I've come to extract your ruh in a nice way. And subhanAllah, those people who were pious, that they, when they die, the coffin, the nice cloth comes from Jannah, paradise, with a beautiful fragrance, just like a doctor does an operation. Then the angels, they come down in a nice smooth way. They don't want to pain that believer. They wrap him with the fragrance, and when his ruh comes out, then on every level of the heavens, he is said, marhaba to him, marhaba to him, to the highest level of heaven. Marhaba, welcome, welcome. And then he stated, go back to your abode. Subhanallah, you are a very high status individual. And this is the preparation for the believer. Then where will this dunya go? Then where will these words go? How can you say we don't know? How can I say I didn't have knowledge, I didn't understand about death, and the times after death, and the journey after death, and the time after death? And let's ask today, that which phase of death or after death did I prepare for today? I need to ask myself that question. So much reality. It is reality. It's going to happen. We need to think about it. So this is the reality, brothers. And this is the truth and the haq. And look, what I need to do is plan that however much life I've got left, I need to remember Allah in abundance. I need to remember death in abundance and prepare for it. And that's it. Subhanallah. It's obvious that we need to prepare for it. We need to pray with good deeds. Which amal should we utilize, implement? Because as I said, there are various phases. From the time of death to after. So there will be the time of death when the ruh will be extracted. The qabr, the grave, will come out of the grave. The day of hashr, we'll go to the plane of the day of judgment. Then the accounting, then the analysis of our deeds, and the decision, and the judgment day. So everyone, if we can get one deed to pass all of these tests, say subhanallah. Do you not understand what I'm saying? That for all of these phases and to prepare for them, we get one amal, one deed. Rasulullah said, if you do one deed, you will prepare for all of these phases. Will we still not do it? Will we not implement that deed? Will you implement it? You promise? Shall I tell you that deed? One amal. Guarantee that it will prepare you for all of the phases from death to the end. Time of death, you'll succeed. In the grave, succeed. From outside of the grave, succeed. Day of Hashr, succeed. Every manzil, destination, journey, phase, you will succeed. Who told us? Rasulullah, Sarkari Du'alam, Master of the Two Worlds, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Shafi, Rahmatullil Alameen, the Supreme Doctor, the Supreme Master. Whose Ummah are we in? Whose nation are we in? Such great solutions, formulas, and practice and deeds Rasulullah has given to us as guidance to get into paradise. We don't listen, nor do we practice, nor do we pay attention. Isn't this the case? Isn't this week's? Look, today, mashallah, people, some have come, they're tired, they're hard workers, mazdoor, they've worked hard all day, someone's cut some meat, somebody's driven a taxi, somebody's enjoyed life, somebody's had hardship, somebody's worked. I'm looking here, brothers, their eyes are closing, they're tired. Subhanallah, their eyes are closing and they're swaying. They're tired. We're all tired. But how much, mashallah, effort they've made that I've got to go to dhikr. They've tried. They're trying to open their eyes. They're trying. So how azeem they must be in the books of Allah, those people. And there'll be such people who have had 10 chapatis and burped and piece of bread. They're sitting at home chit-chatting, gossiping, and they're drinking mashroob. Ah, this nonsense, rubbish talk, gossip-mongering, kharafat. Is this not happening in the world now? Many people will be sitting down reclining, and there are some people all day worked hard, struggled, made effort, laborers coming now in the majlis doing dhikr of Allah. And which majlis are they in? The Thursday night. Tonight is the night of Friday. Shabbe Jummah, the night of Jummah, and in the month of Muharram, and the Mubarak 10 days, and the first night of Jummah in Muharram, and we're sitting here doing the dhikr of Allah. So my brothers, so tiredness is nothing. Where have we reached to? We need to have a bit of courage, a bit of courage. If all life, just a little bit of life, there's what's left in this 40, 50 years, and such courage we should have, then from behind comes a big guarantee that there's no danger, no threat to us in any maqam. On any maqam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. How we waste the time. How we waste the time. And we see, oh, I was like this and I was like that. Look at my beard. We look at photos. I was young and I was strong. Look at my body. I was broad and tough. I used to make my body. One person, he was showing me, Hazrat, look at this image. Look, let me show you something. I said, show me. And I said, what is it you want to show me? He said, look here. I used to be a bodybuilder and I used to have biceps. Where's it gone now? Where's it gone now? So, subhanAllah, now you're just looking at what's sagging. How foolish we were, wasting our time. Our body, our self is telling us that the person, subhanAllah, that when we are like this on top of the earth, and our body gives up on us and lets us down, then what will happen in the grave when we're underneath the crust of the earth? Look how I was beautiful, handsome, and look how I used to look so good. And everyone has their pictures in their pockets, especially women. Oh, when I didn't used to do this, and look how I am now, when I used to do this and do this. Where's the beauty? Your teeth break and your mouth starts to go bent, your body gets fat and wrinkles. That same beauty starts to get spoilt and the face changes. Somebody becomes a grandmother, a dadi and a nanny or a chachi. And eventually that same cover about which has been mentioned, who is successful? The person who remembered death in abundance. That woman, her noor doesn't finish, subhanAllah. Who remembers death in abundance, that woman, her husn beauty never finishes. Doesn't matter how old she becomes. The more older she is, the more subhanAllah noor will come onto her. The more her noor and her beauty will become apparent. I told you this hadith before. The whole world, if you take all of Jannah and the hoors and the beautiful women of Jannah, and at the end ultimately will be that woman of Iman whose noor, due to the beauty and the noor of her face, all of the beauty on the rest of the hoors of women, she will diminish their beauty. Why? What noor will it be? What light will it be? The haya, her shame and modesty that she covered herself with. That when a person, a woman, hides her face due to haya, then that subhanallah noor becomes great light in the hereafter and Jannah. So this is in our hands and control. This is the preparation for Jannah, paradise. And this is the remembrance of death and preparation for the phases after death. So all the phases to come. Allah's Nabi, oh Rasulullah, he made it for us, oh Muslims of Manchester and Bolton in UK, you're busy, you make mistakes, somebody's old and spluttering and coughing. Okay, I'll give you one deed that will help you at the time of death, in the grave, when you come out of the grave, and on the day of Hashar, in the plain of Hashar, when you're crossing bridge of Sirat, and wherever you're traveling to after death, and you'll go straight into paradise. One deed. Will we action this? Will we implement this? Solid promise. And if we don't do this action, then can I grab you and ask you and question you? Ah, yes, of course. What is that deed? Dhikr Allah. Remembrance of Allah. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala stated, A'adda lahum. Who? That those people, the women, and those people, the men, the dhakir. Dhakirat, dhakir. Allah Ta'ala says, أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for them مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ لَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, for you, أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ. Who? Which people? Those women and men, sisters and brothers who did dhikr in kathiran, kathira, abundance. Allah says, I've prepared for you مَغْفِرَةٌ. There's no way you will not be forgiven. There's forgiveness for you, salvation for you, and أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. ajrun azim, Allah Ta'ala saying. Azim ajr, like a person says, not a feast, but a great feast I'm going to call you to. You say, oh, that must be a good feast. I've got to go. I'm going to get pilau rice in that dawah, in that feast. It's not a normal invitation. It's a great invitation. It's not a normal walima, a great walima. And where there is no limit, and Allah Ta'ala says, ajrun azim. Unlimited, nobody can imagine about this. Staying in the world, you cannot imagine the azmat, the azmat, the greatness. And for who? Those men and women, brothers and sisters who did dhikr in abundance, kathiran, kathiran. We can't even do this. We can't even do this. One amal, one deed, the dhikr of Allah, if I grab hold of this, kathiran, kathira. Look at this, this is the guarantee of the Quran. How many people have come to the majlis in the morning to do dhikr? Nobody. Nobody, no, I want to do this, I come to this other gathering. Oh, servants of Allah, Allah has given us an ibadah for every second which is accepted. The morning time from Fajr until Ishraq, this is specially for the dhikr of Allah. Selected, unique time for the dhikr of Allah, no other action. Everything we should stop, close in the kitabs and come at this time and remember Allah at this time. Everything should finish, bukratan wa asila. Allah Ta'ala says a total program framework. Few times Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that morning and evening, these are the two times Allah Ta'ala has selected. Allah Ta'ala says that except for my dhikr, there should be no other activity in the morning and in the evening. Allah says, that said, you have to remember it this time. Allah knows what hikmah, wisdom He has kept in these two extremities of time, in the morning and the evening. 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 7 a.m. you come, and it will just take 20, 25 minutes to do dhikr. In 25 minutes, what will we earn? Tell me, amazing, amazing, massive earnings. We can't even come for that time. If we at least make a portion of time for the dhikr of Allah, what is it that will stop us doing anything in the day? All right, let's come to the time of death. What phase of life and death and after death will we not succeed in with dhikr of Allah? As a Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was told that Rasulullah said, you should do dhikr so much that at the time of death, your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah. That if you want to be saved from the severity and difficulty at the time of death, then moisten your tongue with the dhikr of Allah. As Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu explained about the phases after death, that for everything there's a darkness, and certain things can illuminate the darkness, and the most severe and worst of darkness, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq narration, that the darkness most severe is the darkness of the qabr. And on the first night of the grave, when a person leaves the world and light, he goes into the grave, it will be extreme intense darkness. For example, you're alive and you're lowered into a grave. It is stated that night in the grave, it will be extreme darkness, and if you do dhikr of Allah today, then you will enlighten your grave on that day of extreme darkness. And there's a guarantee. So first is during the life success at the time of death, success in the grave, and people will come out. For example, when you see a man is overcome with jinn, and people, for example, in the world, when they leave the grave, they will come out in a very bad way. But another person will come out of the grave with his face enlightened, illuminated like the moon on the 14th night, on the day of Hashr. I'm not speaking in credit. Let's come to the plane of Hashr now. On the day of judgment. On the day of Hashr, we know about the severities, the punishments. We read the Quran, we know the hadith. But on the same plane of Hashr, on the day of judgment, there will be a platform, and it will be decorated with jewels and pearls and marmar and motis and decoration, and there will be a high platform, and there will be people sat, women and men, and their faces will be illuminated more shiny than the moon on the 14th night, and they will be shining so beautifully that the whole of the gathering of the day of judgment, the people say, Allah, who are these people? Prophets, shuhada, who are these people? And Allah will announce, no such people are these. Why are they here? Why have they got such a great high platform? These are those people who used to go to the house of Allah, sit and remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala doing the dhikr of Allah. Aha, let's go further. Next phase after death, Arsh. On the day of Hashr will be severe heat. On the day of Hashr, we know this. In the hadith it is stated that people will melt almost, but there will be a jama'ah, a congregation will stand under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eating, drinking, takeaways, coolness, food, buffets, luxury, another scene. The people say, Allah, who's this? And Allah will say, these were those who did the dhikr, my dhikr. Let's carry on further. Pul Sirat, bridge of Sirat, darkness, extreme darkness, the bridge of Sirat, sharper than the sword, thinner than the hair, and hellfire underneath. If you drop, you fall into hellfire. Such an extreme, severe condition. And some people who, subhanallah, nurana, faghfir lana, dhunubana, and they will walk across this bridge, nurana, amongst the light, and they'll be calling out loudly, and there'll be the light in front of them, behind them, left to the right, that will drag them along the bridge of Sirat. Who are those people? Who did the dhikr of Allah? We did the dhikr of Allah. Let's carry on, continue along the journey. Mizan, the scales of justice, Allah's court. Everybody will be shaking, hisab, accounting, court case, massive decisions will be made. Every single deed, second breath will be questioned, deeds will be questioned, and somebody will present his deeds, amal. Allah will say, you broke the rights of this person. Allah will say that your mother, your wife, your children will be displeased with you, and the son will be standing and say, this is my father who made me a gangster. This is my father who didn't protect me. This is my father, always used to sat in the shop, speak rubbish and nonsense, talk about business and money. He never did tarbiyah. Never from the depth of his heart did he worry about me. And the father will stand as a criminal, and the son will be there. The mother, she will be the victim. Son as the victim, daughter the victim. And the son will say that my mother supported me and encouraged me to be a gangster and a criminal, and I'll watch after you. Don't worry. Khair, khair, khair. Oh, my daughter, she's spoiled and finished. Oh, it's khair. No dua. Oh, it's okay. And we say, oh, we're forced to do bad and do haram, and we follow un-Islamic ways and methods. And this is how we raise our children. This is the hisab. And she will stand the daughter and say, my mother, wretched mother, she destroyed me, otherwise I'd never go into hellfire. And she supported me, encouraged me, and said, go into the world, do this. Everything that was against Sharia and Islam and which was immoral, and my mother and father, they encouraged me, and they will speak the children. The mizan will be present, decisions will be made. Who? For the mother, the father, the children, they will go against the mother and father. They will stand, and the parents will be thrown into hellfire. Allah will say, shun them. These people who disregarded their children, brothers, this time is to come. Not insignificant. This is not a drama. This is life, the reality of life, not a dream. Everything will be decided upon. Alims and scholars and muhaddithin, commentators, Sufi, walis, well, everyone will be stood naked and everybody will be judged upon. Now tell me, where do you want to go? Which maqam do you want to reach to? Which destination do you want to reach to? Do you want success? This time is to come. It will come. Why? But the person who prepared for death and the events after it, subhanAllah, so mizan will be there. Allah will present his scale, the scale of justice, decision will be made, and the deeds up to the stacks of the heights of the mountains will be weighed. And Allah will say, that who are these people? The people who did dhikr of Allah, their deeds are being weighed, and their deeds will reach to the heights of the peaks of the mountains, because they were so great, their deed of dhikr. After the mizan, there will be a distance made. Some decisions will be made for people to go into paradise, and some the decision will be to go into hell. And then after mizan will be some accounting. And accounting of the deeds. And which jama is this? With speed, it's running a group of people to paradise. Allah will say, who are you? Why are you entering into paradise? Will be asked. At least show your deeds and do the accounting, hisab kitab. And Allah will say, don't ask them. Without any accounting, they will go into paradise because they did the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. So Allah's Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hadith has told us, prepare for death, remember death. Aha, and if you do dhikr of Allah, then you are remembering and preparing for all of the phases from death to Jannah. If you take dhikr of Allah, steadfast, regular, not a dhikr wrapped in sins and lying and hypocrisy and talking nonsense and doing immoral actions, with an honest sincere heart, go to the wali of Allah, do tawbah, repent and learn dhikr of Allah and bring dhikr into your life. And there's no drama. With this amal, there should be no drama. So there's one amal, alhamdulillah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that at no time, no maqam should dhikr leave you. You should have dhikr in parallel with you all your life, not one. Hundreds of thousands of examples of the walis of Allah. Pick up the history and read from your akabireen, from your pious elders, from your chain of teachers. Look, people's lives have been made. Hazrat Salman Nadwi, rahmatullah alayhi. Have you heard these names? Have you heard this name? He has written a kitab, Siratul Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Shibli, rahmatullahi, started, he was a student. And Hazrat Salman Nadwi, rahmatullahi, was his student. And great scholar. And he completed that seerah. And he had a high maqam from the ulama. And once he was sitting and he thought, look at this preparation of death. So if he said, oh, I've written the kitab, and it's a big kitab, and I don't need to do anything more than this, then what a great deed he did, that he wrote a kitab on Siratul Nabi. He could have said, oh, I don't need to do anything after this. I've done the biggest amal, big alim, scholar, I'm successful, I'm going to go into paradise. I've done Siratul Nabi, I've done a book, etc. I'm speaking about him, high class deed. What of me and you? We're nothing. Will we go into paradise? And he said, he could have said, this is not for me, I'm praying salah, give my zakah, and I'm doing this normal action and my sadqah. This is sadqah jariyah for me. Is this a small thing to collect the hadith and write them down and make a book of seerah? And he didn't think that, oh, he wasn't under any conceit and misconception that he's successful. Remember, this is preparation for death. This will be Allah's mercy, therefore Allah Ta'ala allows a person to think about the preparation of death. And if he considers that he's nothing, if I sit down and think I'm nothing, nothing. I have no deeds to my name. If every one of us think like this, that he sat down and thought, that what are you? You are no believer in terms of practice. You've not practiced nothing. You're not a good believer. And you've written a seerah, and people mention your name in the world. And you think that through this book that you've written, this seerah, you will walk into paradise? And the answer came that you have written. You've written a kitab. So the answer was coming to him consciously, that you've written a big kitab on Siratul Nabi, and you are the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the answer came himself, that I am an ashik of Allah, of Rasulullah sallam. I have written the kitab, but can you measure yourself, that have these attributes come inside you yourself, that just like I'm speaking and I've written this kitab, that have these attributes and qualities come into my life, in my heart, that I speak and give speeches, that have those same attributes come into my life? So definitely I should speak and tell people, but think about yourself at the same time, that I should also do what I'm saying, isn't it? And then your life will change, my life will change. So he thought, suddenly he stood up, he sat up. This was Allah's mercy, isn't it? He thought, what should I do now? And the sweat came out. He started to sweat and worry. Who should I speak to? Who should I tell? My predicament, my worry, my distress. I've written the book of Siratul Nabi. And am I good myself? I've written about the seerah and the life of Rasulullah. And I called myself an ashik. He started to fear and tremble. And he was scared about himself, that I'm a true believer myself. I've written. He started to run left and right. He thought, let me go to this place. There's a wali of Allah. Let me go there and meet this person. So Sayyid Arifi. Do you know who is Arifi? Who is this person? Subhanallah. He was the Khalifa al-Ajr. Ajl. He was Hazrat Arif Billah. Dr. Sam. He explained this. So he reached there, and Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, he reached to the door of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah. Who is this? He came. He said, I'm Salman. He said, such a big scholar. Subhanallah. He said, such a big scholar. Why have you come here? Why are you here? What's the issue? And he was a bit surprised. Hazrat, and he stayed 3 days in Hazrat Khanka. How many days? 3 days. On the third day, Arfi Rahimullah stated that I saw with my eyes that on the third day that he was grabbing like the walls and shrieking, banging on the walls. And I went past him and said, Hazrat, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying for this reason, that 3 days I spent here in the Khanka, and after 3 days I realized that those people we thought that the ulum, the knowledge we had inside me, that was all fake. This is the genuine ilm that I can see here, the knowledge. And this is how a person becomes exposed. And this is Hazrat Salman Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi. Great individual. So Hazrat Tanvi Ramdeh came, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And he said, you're going? He said, Hazrat, I'm going. Please give me your final nasiha and advice. And Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat said, I thought such a big alim, scholar coming. What nasiha shall I give to you? What advice, what nasiha shall I can I give to you? And this thought came in my mind, in my heart. And then suddenly I turned to Allah and said, Allah, give me such beneficial words that can come from my tongue that will benefit this scholar who's come. So Allah Ta'ala gave his blessings and he wanted you to be improved. So when a person has a bit of niyyah and he moves, then Allah Ta'ala's help comes. Never in any condition way we should not think that struggle and striving will run successful. If you try to run your shop will run. If you want to learn driving, you will learn how to drive. Whatever field you want to go into, your field you will attain. The person who tries, he never is unsuccessful. But the person who tries in the path of Allah, how can he be unsuccessful? He will never fail, because Allah Ta'ala's promise is that I will help the muhsineen. Allah says that when you come to my path, then you are the muhsin. Allah says, I am with you, I am with you. And Allah Ta'ala says, I am patting you on the back, I'm with you, I'm accompanying you on your journey. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm along with you. And do you think my help will not come to you? So never think that when for the sake of Allah you start striving, making effort, and you think it's hard, never will it be hard. Allah has promised, I am with you. Allah's promise will be, I can't leave this in. How can I not leave this in? I will. Ask for Allah's help. Allah's help will come. Allah, I can't leave this in. How can it be I can't leave this in? Ask, have courage and ask from Allah. Allah's help will come. Oh, I can't get up in the morning to pray Fajr. And it's hard for me to get up. Have courage. Set the alarm clock. Allah's help will come and you'll wake up. Make your right knee and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How comes this event will not occur without Allah ta'ala's help? Of course it will occur. So this is how a person's life improves. This is how a person's life improves for the better. So the darkness will come in the grave. Allah, what should I do? What will happen to me? Shaitan says, no, there's a long way to go. You're not ill yet. You're not going to die yet. And today you've eaten properly. And those people who are ill, they die, says Shaitan. That's what he says to us, isn't it? And for example, a phone comes to me, do dua for me. What's happened? Just before I came, from my close relatives and people who were not, but I was okay before and now I've got cancer and I was totally healthy before but now I'm ill. Every day phone calls come and people ask for dua. I was healthy, my brother was healthy, I was going and this happened to him. He was healthy and he left home and this happened. When he went home, he had an accident, one died and the other one's got a broken leg. These are the disasters and tragedies of the world, of the dunya. But Rasulullah SAW said, prepare for death, prepare for death, prepare for the time of death. And not one second of our day should pass, and we should ever think in the day that we should not be preparing for the phases of life and death and the phase of death. For example, you have to go to India or Pakistan or Bangladesh, you have to travel, look at the length of the journey, 7-8 hours, and we start preparing from months before. I've got to buy this luggage and goods for this child and present. Oh, he likes mitai and sweets, I'll buy. Where are you going? I'm going back home, I'm going back home. We talk for months and months. I'm going back home, I'm going to meet this person, I'm going to go, I've got a ticket and I'm going, I'm traveling. My brothers, have we ever waited for that ticket that will take us and depart us from this world? Every day we meet each other, shake hands, look, I'm going, I'm leaving the world. We are just guests in this world. We are just guests in the world. Is there no preparation for this? There's no preparation for this? There's no methodology for the preparation? We need amalus salihat. Good deeds, durood, dhikr, we remember Allah, do the dhikr of Allah, practice the sunnah. Always we should have thoughts in our mind for Makkah, Medina, and good pious actions, and Allah's deen, and amal. Oh my Allah, I don't want Allah to be displeased with me. I don't want my Nabi to be displeased with me. May Allah not be displeased. May Allah's Nabi not be displeased. And think about good things, and practice, and amal, and if maut comes, we'll be ready. Can there be anything better than this? No, it's not hard, it's not difficult. If we go into the qabr, 5-star hotel we'll get, and food and drink and everything. Is this something that's not good? And we'll be free from the world then. And we'll be free from the trials and the hardships of this world. We're going to the Jannah with coolness, and we'll see the shade of Jannah. And then when we go into the hereafter, the day of judgment, we'll get the pond of Kawthar, the water. For example, you're on the journey, the motorway, you have refreshment. And we'll have refreshments after death, and beautiful coolness and shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. So should we not prepare for death? So one amal has been given for the preparation from death until the end. What deed is that? Say from your mouths, dhikr of Allah. Will you come to dhikr in the morning? Doesn't matter what happens. Sit down 5 minutes, 2 minutes. At least present yourself. I know you will work hard. Okay, so you've come, you're clothed for the office and dressed. Doesn't matter how you have to come, but at least come into the gathering of dhikr in the morning. Okay, we'll leave from the gathering and we'll go straight to work. We'll do dhikr for 3 minutes. We'll be included in the majlis so the angels can write that this person came and this person came. Should we do this or not? And those people who are far, who can't come. So we prepared for that. There's online dhikr. And when you're in the car, put the dhikr on. If you say, oh, I can't come, it's difficult for me, Allah says that I will be with this person in the majlis. And it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, I can't sit in the majlis after Fajr. So you're in the car and put the dhikr on your phone, online. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. It's not difficult, is it? Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us in this country. Such preparation in this country, how Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. 24 hours the radio runs, dhikr of Allah continues. Yeah, it's happening at the moment. It's online, the transmission's going throughout the whole world. Somewhere at 6 a.m, 7 a.m, 3 a.m, 2 a.m. Even now, after a little while, the morning will come and the dhikr of Allah will start. 24 hours a day in the whole world, dhikr is happening. And even then we complain, Allah, we didn't get dhikr. Oh Allah, we didn't get dhikr. How big a loss this is, my friends. Have courage. Tell me, I should have courage and you should have courage. I am worse and I am very lazy and negligent, and due to your love, mashallah, due to your blessings and presence, I come as well. So I will try as well. And mashallah, you brothers are pious and you make struggle and strive, so make an effort that you come to the majlis. Because before we prepare for the stomach, we should prepare for thereafter. Maybe we won't get to the shop, but we will inshallah get definitely to the end of life. So first we should do the preparation for the hereafter, then we should prepare for the day in the world. If I'm asking you to come, it's not benefiting me, is it? Yes sir, I'm calling you for what reason? I don't want that, for example, I want to earn from here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This many brothers have come. I'm a big sheikh, 300 brothers have come. I'm such a great sheikh, or 400 people have come, students. I don't even know myself where I'm sitting, who's come, who hasn't come, who has fikr, who doesn't have fikr. So this is not the issue why we should come. It's not for making a group or a gathering or numbers. The reason is that I have love with you and you have love with me. I have love for you and your love for me. And that's it. We are the ummah of one Rasul, the same Nabi. You saved me and I tried to save you. And this is called friendship. And there can be no beautiful, more better friendship than this. There can be no better. And if we can do this, that I save you and you save me, then can there be a greater friendship than this? That all the relationships end, everything will break, all friendships and relations and links cut, but this relationship will not cut. That we will grab each other's hand on the akhirah and with firmness, and this love will be like this. What will happen? You will save me and I inshallah save you, and we don't let each other go. We assist each other. We're not going to fall down. We're not going to drop. And this is the love that we need. And this is the love I have with you from the depths of my heart with the fadl of Allah, and you love me. Alhamdulillah. So may Allah give us all success and allow us to surpass the peaks. Ameen.